We don't deserve it. That was all done by the grace of God. And we're going to talk a lot about that over the coming weeks. So let me get settled here. And we'll be off. Did you ever find that even electronics work slower in cold weather?
Yes.
It's not just the old bones, right?
It doesn't
pick up heat. If you want to turn it to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to be looking at this today. And we're going to be looking at parts of that over the coming weeks, but I just want to give you some foundation here. Okay. It worked. Okay. What a topic for today. Periodically, we feel poor, correct? We feel something's out of sorts, whether it's a flu, a cold, a virus, or, sore throat. We feel bad. The fact of the matter is when one part of the body is not working correctly, it affects the whole part. Isn't that true? You know, some of you have had toothaches, right? And it's like the end of the world, right? Some of you have had ingrown toenails, and it's like the end of the world. Some of you are klutzy like me and have banged your finger with a hammer. And it's like the point of the matter is no matter what part of the body is affected, it affects the whole other part. One of the things I found out is that we don't appreciate a member of our body until it's not useful. Isn't that true? About 10 years ago, some of you remember, I broke my arm. And it was my left arm. I'm right-handed, but it was my left arm. And I said, how bad can this be? Well, let me tell you something. It was hard putting pants on. It was hard doing the normal functions of every day, and within the first 4 hours, I really missed my left arm. You know, we have to understand that the human body is a miracle. I mean, there's no question about it. I'll give you a little bit of my background just before I say this. When I was in college, I was pre-med, and at that point in my journey, I was still pretty much an agnostic. Until I took senior anatomy, where we had to do some intense dissections and all. I don't mean to get you sick. But along with the anatomy, we did physiology and some other courses. And I began looking at this incredible thing that we call the human body and say, this couldn't happen by accident. This just couldn't happen by accident. This didn't happen from a primal gene pool that accidentally got together with the right proteins and started. It's an incredibly designed piece of machinery. Now, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir because we have a physician here this morning, and he could tell you this. But whenever you look at the functions of a body, it's a living miracle. There's no question about it. I made a list, by the way. I didn't make it. I got it off Google. Of the systems of the body. There are 11 main systems of the body. I just want to read them to you. The vascular system, which is the circulatory system, right? Blood and the heart, and so on and so forth. The digestive system and excretory system. Enough said about that. We all know when that gets out of whack, how that goes, right? The endocrine system, which provides the chemical communication the body needs for using hormones. Okay, the integumentary system and the endocrine system, which is the skin, the hair, the nails, and so on and so forth. The lymphatic system, which is the immune system that you all know about. The muscular system, some of us have more than others, right? The nervous system, the renal system, which is the kidney urinary system, the reproductive system, the respiratory system, the skeletal system. We'd be walking around like boneless chickens if we didn't have a skeleton, true? All of these systems are important, and doctor, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but Even within one of these systems is a whole subset of systems that makes the system operate. It's an amazing, amazing thing when you look at it. That's it. Say that again. And they rely on each other. They rely on each other. So the bottom line in all of this is, how would you feel one day if your heart didn't show up? Well, you wouldn't feel anything because you wouldn't be here. Correct? How would you feel one day if your kidneys shut down? I mean, some of you had this experience, and it's not pleasant. Paul is addressing a serious issue in a church, in a Corinth church. The Corinth church had problems from day one, just like any other church, by the way. But here it seemed to be fueled by people who didn't like Paul from the outside of the church, and they got inside and infiltrated. If that wasn't enough, there were people inside the church who were extremely jealous, prideful. We don't have that problem here, right? And some just downright mean. And what was happening in the church is all sorts of divisions were taking place in the church. They were arguing about which pastor they followed. You say, well, that doesn't happen today. Oh, yeah, it does. They were arguing about whose spiritual gifts were better. Mine are better than yours. Yours are better than mine. You know, that argument. Not only were they arguing about that, they were arguing about the Lord's table. Some were coming drunk. Some were coming hoarding food at the meal before the celebration of the Lord's table, ignoring the poor. The poor were snubbing the rich people. And it was all sorts of divisions going on in the church. Now, Paul initially spent in the Corinthian church a year and a half just pouring his life into them and teaching them and bringing them along. And it wasn't too long after he left that these divisions started showing up again. And he got a report of these divisions. And Paul sends a letter, the first of two letters. And there were three, by the way. One got lost. But the first of two letters that we know of to say to the Corinthians, time out. Stop, you went far off track. You need to get back on track again. Because what became the consuming vision of the church was who was better than who. And who did you follow? Your leadership is reading the book that Joey referred to, I Am a Church Member. It's by an author by the name of Tom Rainer. And I'm going to be doing this in conjunction with his material. So if you want to get the book, we're going to have it in the library. You can follow along. But what I want you to consider this morning is this. In order for a church body, just like a human body, to be healthy, every member has to show up and every member has to do its part. Simple. Simple. Yet not so simple. Because let me tell you something. When you have an organization of volunteers, sometimes it doesn't work out like that. Sometimes you say, I'll go when I feel like it. Or it'll get done. I don't really have to be there. And it presents a lot of problems. So turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to start at verse 12. I'm going to bring you through this quickly. Most of you know this, okay? This is Paul. Now, he's already admonished the Corinthians, but he really needs to say, I want to give you an analogy of how important this is. He says, just as a body, a human body, though one, has many parts, but all of its parts, all of its many parts form what? One body. So it is with Christ, with the church, with the local church. For we were all baptized by one Spirit. You were just saying that. We were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile. There's no discrimination here, slave or free, and we are all given one Spirit to drink. That is to say that if you have come to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior by faith, at that moment, the Holy Spirit has indwelled you, me, everyone else who believes. So the same Spirit who lives in me lives in you. Isn't that great? You have the same Holy Spirit I do. You don't have any more of the Holy Spirit or any less of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. That is our unity in the body. The fact that the same Holy Spirit lives in each of us. That's why we can call each other brothers and sisters in Christ. It's really a neat thing. Even so, the body is not made up of many of one part, but many parts. Now, I love this. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. In other words, Paul is saying, look, if you have a foot and the foot says, I'm not a hand, so why should I do my job? What's the big deal? Well, you ever try walking on one foot? I mean, I want you to start to get the picture here. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. In other words, if you're part of the body and you have this mentality that I'm not that important, you're cheating yourself, you're cheating the greater body, and you're grieving the heart of God. Because every member is important. Well, I'm not the pastor. Hey, thank God you're not. We don't need a church full of pastors, but we need a church of godly people who are willing to use their gifts. Isn't it, and Paul's going to go into this argument, isn't it great that the whole body is not just a foot? All right, we'd be in trouble. Here we go. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would that sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. That you should underline that 9 million times. I am serious. Because when you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he places you in a local body for a very, very important mission. And it's his mission. It's no less important than the pastor. It's no less important than a deacon. It's no less important than a church officer. It is just as vital and just as important because he put them where he wanted to. Now, I draw on some of my old knowledge, and Doc, you can correct me if I'm wrong. One of my favorite courses when I took the medical courses was embryology. And in embryology, you study how an embryo develops. Fascinating. And it's called cell differentiation. How do the brain cells know where to go? How do the heart muscle cells know where to go? And yet it's all coded in DNA. And when the development of the fetus, I hate that word, it's a person, is in utero, and this starts taking place, this is an incredible miracle that happens for cell differentiation. God knows how to build people. I don't know how else to say it. He's the creator. He knows exactly how to build people. And he does it the best anybody could ever do it because he's God. God knows how to build his church. He has placed every member in the church for a reason. And we all need to understand that and that we're all important. Look as he goes on here. He says, but if there were one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. You should underline that a million times. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. There are some parts of the body that are very vulnerable and very weak, aren't there? And we know that. And Paul is saying you may have some believers who think that they are weak, and they're really not, but they're valuable. Don't dismiss any member of the body. And he says, and we are treat the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. I just want to stop there for a second. Since the church is a body, is the body of Christ, we know there are many parts of the local body that form the church. We are confirmed into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Now, don't get nervous. I use the word confirmed. Okay, confirmed just means the moment we believe, we are confirmed by the Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that we belong to the body because He indwells us. There's no discrimination. We have the same Holy Spirit, but we have different gifts. Here's what I'd like to do at this point. How many of you were from a different religious background than an evangelical church? Would you raise your hand? All right, here's what I want to do. On the count of three, I want you to shout your background, whether it was Presbyterian, Methodist, Roman Catholic, whatever it is, okay? Here we go. One, two, three. Boy, that's a jumble, right? Now I want you to do, on the count of three, shout who your Savior is. Okay? Here we go. One, two, three.
Jesus.
Jesus. Because He's the head of the body. It's not the denominations that we were in. It's not an independent church. It is Jesus who's the head of the body. Without the head of the body, the rest of the body doesn't know what to do. Isn't that true? Every member is different. That's a good thing. God forbid you had 60, 70 of me's walking around. It'd get boring pretty fast. You don't need to look at me like that. But the church should be diverse. Should it be diverse racially? Should be diverse ethnically? It should be diverse in just our who we are. There's nothing wrong with diversity. But the special thing about the body, just like the systems are diverse, we're all called to work together. And it's in that diversity we have strength. Let's see how Paul develops this. He says, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. Did you catch that? This is why, and forgive me, and if you get angry at me, you can punch me later, okay? This is why I get very upset when people choose to stay away from church. Because when one part is absent, we all suffer. Now, I know there's good reasons for people not to be here. I understand that. But there's one of the things, if we're going to take this seriously, we have to understand the importance of coming to church. That when one is out, we all suffer. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Let me give you an example of that. If one part is honored, then everybody rejoices with it. I started weightlifting a long time ago. My brother actually got me into it, and I continued it. And I was in high school, and I was doing some work with dumbbells. Remember, not people. The weights, okay? And the old dumbbells had collars on it that you had to tighten. Well, I had 20 pounds on each side, probably 30 on each side, and I was doing curls, and one of the collars came loose, and the weight fell and split my big toe open. Now, I wasn't wearing shoes, so it made it all that bad. So my mother started screaming, as an Italian would, you know, and I told you, you're going to kill yourself. And in her own way, she would say, if it's broken, I'll break the other one. So she called the doctor. This is when doctor made house calls, right? So the doctor came over, and I had a makeshift bandage around it. And he looks at it and he says, "Ah, you did a good job on this." And I said, "Doc, do I need stitches?" He says, "No, butterfly, you'll be okay." And when he started to do what he did, it just felt so much better. As my toe felt better, I felt better. It's amazing how a toe can cause so much pain. And yet when the great physician comes along and brings healing, oh man, that's a good thing. By the way, any doctor who is willing to admit it, who has any sense of the miracle of the body, will say that God is the healer. He's just the instrument. And so there are parts of the body that hurt in everybody, even in the church. And when we stay away from the body, we don't give the great physician a chance to bring healing so we could all get better. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, this goes into some offices and special callings, apostles, prophets, teachers, then the miracles, the gifts of healing, helping, and guidance, and different tongues. In other words, when we come to Christ, he gives us gifts to use in the body for the edification of all. It's a tremendous thing that when we come together and we're all working together and we are united in the purpose of God, what a small church can do. What a small church can do. Things beyond our imagination. And then he says, this addresses the division. Are we all apostles? Of course not. Are we all prophets? Of course not. Are we all teachers? Of course not. Do we all work miracles? Of course not. Do we all have gifts? In other words, everybody's going to have different gifts. It says, now eagerly desire the greater gift, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. And then he goes into the great love chapter. It says, the greatest gift is love. I believe the love of Christ that is available to us when we come to know Christ, so we can share it with each other, is the lifeblood of a church. It's the absolute lifeblood of a church. Let me give you a couple of cautions. First of all, a church isn't a country club. This is a point that the author makes. A country club is a place where you go, you pay your dues. They provide services for you, a swimming pool or golf or entertainment or whatever. But I am really afraid that we bring that mentality to church sometimes. That we're coming to church expecting what the church can do for you. This is saying when we come to church, we should be coming to the church with the attitude of what can we do for him and for one another. Because we love him and we love one another. He gave us the Spirit, and the same Spirit lives in you. Therefore, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't want to belabor this too much, but this is something where I believe the church in North America needs to get better. The only way we're going to get healthy is if all the parts show up and do what we need to do. Let me give you an example. In the coming weeks, after our leadership meeting, you may be asked to head up some of the ministries that I have headed up previously or some of the other people have headed up. For instance, I'm going to be looking for somebody to champion the Coke giveaway. I'm going to be looking for somebody to champion Lacey Day. I'm going to be looking for somebody to champion some other things that we do and start to create new things. But here's the kicker, okay? If I don't get the body working like this together, we're not going to be able to do those ministries. We just won't be able to do them. The choice is ours. Now, my desire is that if we can have a church of 60, 70 people, I'm not a numbers guy, but we can impact this community for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're a success. If we want to come here like a country club, then we're a failure. But it takes the cooperation of everyone to do this. Let me tell you the typical attitude, okay? This is a story. It's called Church Service. It's a story about four people whose names were Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. The church had financial responsibilities, and everybody was asked to help. Everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but you know who did it? Nobody. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did it. Then the church grounds needed some work, and somebody was asked to help. Somebody got angry about that because anybody could have done it just as well. And after all, it was really everybody's job. In the end, the work was given to nobody, and nobody did a fine job. On and on this went. Whenever the work was to be done, nobody would always get be counted on. Nobody visited the sick. Nobody gave liberally. Nobody shared his faith. In short, nobody was a very faithful member. And the final day, finally the day came when somebody left the church and took anybody and everybody, and guess who was left? Nobody. You are all important. And if you want to be part of something bigger than yourself, then I'm going to ask you to get involved. I want to see people come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I do not want to see people from other churches come here. I want to see people who come to know Christ come here. I want to see us serve our community. In whatever way God opens up, I want to see us serve Him so that people can see the love of Christ and that we're just not a holy huddle here in this church. I want us to ring forth the message that Jesus is alive and that He is still in the business of saving people. And you may be here, and I could hear your thoughts, but I'm not an evangelist. You don't have to be. All you need to do is tell your story. Well, but I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be. The Spirit of God who lives in me lives in you. He'll give you the right words to say. But there's one thing I'll caution us about. We need to be out in the community or our area of influence building relationships. Because in this day and age, very rarely will a non-believer walk through that door of any church. It is because of friends who will bring them through. It is because, and it's not pastors, by the way, it's because of the body of Christ. We have an incredible responsibility, a commission given to us. Go into all the world. Make disciples of every nation. You don't know what that means? Every ethnic group. Teaching them what Jesus taught us. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Spirit. And teaching them to obey the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you choose to read this book, which I hope you do, I'm going to end with the pledge at the end of the first chapter. Joey read this several weeks ago, but it would be good to remind all of us. The choice is yours. I can't force you to do anything, nor do I want to force you to do anything. This has to be something that you settle between yourself and God going forward. Here's the first pledge. I am a church member. I like the metaphor of membership. It's not membership as in a civic organization or a country club. is the kind of membership given to us in 1 Corinthians 12. And I quote, "Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Because I am a member of the body, I must be a functioning member, whether I am an eye or an ear or a hand. As a functioning member, I will give. I will serve. I will minister. I will evangelize. I will study. I will seek to be a blessing to others. I will remember that if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all members rejoice with it." This is between you and God. Are you willing to pledge that? Let me pray.